analogy I use is the food industry is really the world's biggest quasi public-private utility. Every country in the world has got the public sector, the government is involved in some way, shape, or form in their food industry. So it's really operating as a quasi-public utility.
Welcome to Dialed Up, a podcast where we take the biggest problems facing agriculture, dial the volume up, and explore what's being done to fix them. I'm your host, Eleni Paulson. The problem? Sustainable farming needs more support. Today, we're going to dive into the tidbit you heard at the top of the episode, and in episode 4, from Dr. Boland at the University of Minnesota. It's a small idea that carries a lot of weight in terms of sustainable farming initiatives. The idea is this. In order for us to have a truly effective, sustainable food system, we need to support that system across all levels of the food supply chain. In the second half of this season, we're going to talk about how private companies and consumers can support sustainable farming initiatives. But before we get there, I'd like to share my full conversation with Dr. Boland. His perspective gives us a great high-level overview of the connection between government organizations and private corporations in their support for sustainable agriculture. It's a good exit from the government conversations we've been having and a smooth transition to some of the newer, shinier opportunities in the private space. I'll hand the mic to Dr. Boland.
Dr. Boland, can you tell me what your experience is with sustainable farming practices from an applied economics standpoint? Are you seeing that sustainable farming is something that is starting to disrupt agriculture? Are you seeing that it's been a trend for a while, or are you seeing no disruption at all?
I think it's important. So I grew up on a farm in southern Minnesota, and so we, you know, if you look at sustainability as broad a standpoint, we practice sustainability. We rotate our crops. We use animal manure on our fields. We, we did a number of things. None of us wanted to have erosion or runoff in the soils. We did things to keep our ditch banks clear. So I think I would argue that a lot of farmers have been practicing sustainable practices for a long time. We've just never stopped to try to measure those and look at, you know, what has happened. A bigger issue that's happened in the last 20 years is as we've gone to, we've learned a lot about production agriculture. So we're producing more corn plants, for example, in a more dense nature. The roots are deeper. And so as we're getting more, we're putting more load, if you will, on that acre of land, the nitrogen fertilizer, the water needs, the intensity of the crop production has increased. And so as part of that, there's a need to understand the sustainability of what's happened with some of these changes in production technologies and advances in seed technology. So at an outset, farmers have always used some type of sustainability. I've been in more than 100 countries around the world, and farmers use straw and there's just a number of things farmers have done. The big change, I think, that's happened more recently is people trying to measure the effects that are having, because we have food companies. A recent survey by the Food Institute says that 1/3 of all food companies are looking at putting some type of a sustainability metric or a measure of greenhouse gases on their labels in the next couple of years. And so to do that, you have to measure, be able to measure sustainability. And that's difficult to do. Let me just stop right there, because you've got other questions you want to ask me that will lead into my answer. So let me just stop right there.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I'm sure that as a lot of food companies are trying to add sustainability measures and clauses into their plans, they're sort of working on ways that they can quantify that, ways that they can prove that to their stakeholders and to others. You're right, it does lead into a couple very specific questions. As we discussed earlier, I am looking at this from a sustainable agriculture from a standpoint of how can agriculture be supported in sustainability efforts. We hear about these sustainability efforts, the word has become a buzzword, but we sometimes, from a consumer standpoint, have a hard time understanding where the funding comes from, how much it takes to transition to more sustainable farming practices, and what that truly means in the context of farming in general and in different farm systems. So I'm diving into how governments can support sustainable agriculture or farmers looking to employ more sustainable practices, and how private companies can. We talked a little bit about private companies, so that sounds like a great place to start. Do you think private corporations should be incentivizing farmers to adopt more sustainability practices?
I think the analogy I use is the food industry is really the world's biggest quasi public-private utility. Every country in the world has got the public sector, the government is involved in some way, shape, or form in their food industry. So it's really operating as a quasi-public utility. So sustainability, for example, we've got Congress has appropriated funds to the USDA, to the Sustainable Ag and Research Education, the SARE program for sustainability. Private companies, this is somewhat new to them, and you know they're not going to make investments. If you think about label claims, they have to be able to certify and be able to have some confidence that what they've got is actually out there. So they're not going to make any type of investments unless they know that there's some value or some return for their investors in that. So as you think about something like Cheerios, I joke with students that Cheerios is sort of like baby's first finger food. If you look what's happened to Cheerios brand by General Mills, I believe it was their first organic cereal. Why is that? Well, if you get on the organic aisle in the grocery store, all of our baby products are now organic. So they're positioning Cheerios, if you will, as baby's first finger food as an organic product. Now, if they want to do something more than that to try to capture a sustainability claim or something, the oats that are used in General Mills or that are used in Cheerios have to be measured. Any sustainability claims, any carbon that they're putting back in the soil, any type of practices that reduce the use of water and so forth have to be measured and captured. So University of Minnesota, for example, and CFANS, the big oat program right now that they're working with companies like General Mills on that. So they're not going to provide incentives to farmers to do that unless they know that this is something consumers value. So General Mills, again, going back to that example, they've got a gun smoke farm in South Dakota, which is something like 30,000 acres, where that's been organic production, where they're producing small grains, including oats, for use in their cereals. The problem is, when you think about carbon is a dynamic process. In one year, we may add carbon to the soil. The next year, we may take carbon out. So a food company wants a measurement that's over time that says they're doing something. And carbon, we still don't have the math. We don't have agreement on all the math models, especially among the interactions on the coefficients in those interaction terms in many of these models. So carbon is, for example, is a dynamic process. Food companies want to be able to make a claim and stick to it, which is more of a static thing. So we still have to, we've got to figure out exactly how we're going to measure this, what we're going to report, and that's going to take, again, the food system being a public utility, it's going to take a public-private partnership between the scientists and industry, for example, and those within the USDA and land-grant universities like CFANS here at the University of Minnesota.
Interesting. That makes a lot of sense. And it sounds to me like when we talk about private corporations incentivizing some of these practices, there's one aspect where they're incentivizing farmers, and there's another where they are incentivizing the processes that help, that ultimately help private corporations prove some of these numbers to stakeholders and make a business case out of some of the spending. So it's a farmer corporation partnership. It's, as you said, USDA land grant corporation partnership and a science corporation partnership as well.
Yep, it's going to take all of those individuals to make this work.
From an economic standpoint, do you think it's worth it? And I ask because I heard from another individual that it's important for farmers to consider their markets when they're producing food, of course. If they're shipping food overseas, then the market is much different than the market in the U.S., and the demands are quite different. So conventional farming may work much better for one market, whereas regenerative agriculture, for example, could bring about more profits on this end, or in another market, rather. So do you think it's worth it for companies to be fueling in this way?
Yeah, so if you think about something like meat, for example, I mean, the European Union doesn't want meat coming from animals that be using growth hormones. They want that labeled, and a lot of Europeans say, we just don't want that. So in the United States, virtually all of our meat is produced in feedlots using growth hormones, and there's been no studies that have shown that growth hormones, the type used in these feedlots, are bad for you. But the Europeans just say, we don't want it, and many other consumers in other parts of the world say, we don't want it either. So there are different segments, to your point. You know, think about shipping blueberries into South Korea and Japan. Normally, those go in container loads, and they've got to be organic. They've got to, the buyers come over and actually visit these farms in Oregon and Washington State and to try to just verify that these fruits and vegetables are produced in a certain way. So we have to... there are different market segments for that, and we do have a market segment in the United States. You know, I grew up in a family of 12 children. I'm the oldest. Very few people have got 12 children anymore. We've got very small families. The income elasticity of demand is much different for many people. They've got more money. They're able to spend more of their income on food relative to what they did, say, 50, 60, 100 years ago. So in that standpoint, certain types of people are much more interested in where their food comes from. And so there are different markets, to your point, there are different markets for this, and some people value those differently than others.
Absolutely. So I'm sure for individual private corporations, it's about understanding what those markets are, choosing the farmers or the organizations that you partner with, and then, you know, if enough private corporations get involved sort of across the board, perhaps we'll have a sort of net of support for different farming practices and for different levels of quote-unquote sustainability. I know that's a loosely defined term as it is.
Yep.
Dr. Boland makes a great point about the collaboration between public and private entities. Since agriculture is such a large industry, and because it's so vital to the health of our nation and our economy, we need collaboration from organizations across the supply chain, public and private, small and large. We need to support each other with as little discrimination as farmers have when they grow food for their consumers. I asked Dr. Boland if there was anything he'd like to add about government entities and their partnerships with private corporations.
I think it's important to point out that Congress, in all the programs, they're trying to find ways to send income back to farmers, because most farmers historically are not able to operate at a much of a high profit program. So Congress is appropriating money. No matter how you slice and dice it, it's designed to transfer income from the U.S. Treasury to farmers. So they aren't doing it specifically for conservation purposes. Crop insurance, for example, doesn't have anything to do with sustainability. It guarantees farmers a certain level of income for producing different crops that are grown under the crop insurance program. So from that standpoint, the government does have an incentive to try to put some land and set it aside. If you look at the conservation reserve, if you look at that from a practical standpoint, the government would have been better off just buying that land and taking it out of production. There's certain types of land that just never should have been brought into crop production, but have. And so that a lot of these government programs work at cross purposes to each other. You know, they are going to on the margin, they'll transfer some money into conservation reserve programs, take some land out of production, but that doesn't help companies at all, because those companies can't farm that ground. So there really isn't anything that Congress is doing to help farmers do more practice more sustainable farming methods. It's going to have to take the private sector to really get farmers are going to, you know, will practice sustainable methods as long as it's profitable for them. But the government, USDA, is not going to do anything to ensure that for them. So I just wanted to make sure and make that point.
As you've heard, there really isn't a clear distinction between farm support, government support, and private entity support. Whether you're growing grain, processing it, labeling it, selling it as a box of Cheerios, or buying it for your kids, you're contributing to agriculture. And there are ways for all of us to support the sustainable side of food production, from our unique point in that production and consumption process. We'll dive into the private and consumer side more specifically in our next episode of Dialed Up. Thanks for listening.